But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
Share something that I believe would be a blessing to everybody. It's a sisters' conference, but the matters I will be addressing today is not particular, it's not specific to sisters. It's a matter of fact, it cuts across, you know, both genders, and in fact, I believe every one of us needs to be equipped with this truth. To approach the matter of the biography of the believer, I would begin by saying that man did not start in time. Man didn't start in time, and so man will not end in time. From the creation of the first man, Adam, there was a lot of details about his true nature that was concealed, and so it was not available to mortals to know. But when it was time for the second Adam to manifest, which was in the person of Christ Jesus, many things hidden about the identity of the first was revealed. For example, in the manifestation of the first Adam, which is the first man, the things we knew about him was that God formed him from the dust of the earth, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then we were told that man became a living soul. And so the average man believes that his existence started from when that breath was activated. But when they wanted to recreate the Adam project, which is the second Adam, and they called him the second Adam to show you that they are continuing from where they spoiled the manuscript from, where the standard was misplaced from. They didn't call anybody Adam from the first. So it was only two times that the immortals were able to arrive at the standard, and it was in Adam, number one, and second in Christ Jesus. From Adam to Jesus, they don't know what to call man. There was nobody that can be called man. Mind you, when the immortals were contemplating on what man will be, at several times they lend us their ideas. First, they say man shall not live by bread alone. Man is supposed to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But upon the face of the earth, you could not find anybody that was in tandem with the Spirit of God to that extent, that every step of his was orchestrated by the voice, the speaking voice of God. So they were searching and they could not find a man. In fact, the Bible says, I sought for a man and I found none. Yet there are billions of people on the landscape. There are priests in different temples. They are looking for man. They couldn't find man. Another scripture says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. But they looked upon the landscape and they could not find creatures of prayer. So they knew that we have not arrived at man yet. So you can have a lot of people in a generation, and yet the cry of heaven is, who will I send? Who will go for us? In Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible says also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will I send? Who will go for us? And so when it was time for the project of man to be realigned again, they began to make initiative to restore Adam. And so they brought a man child and they called him the second Adam, meaning all of the things that were lost in the project from the beginning have been restored inside him. Suddenly the father has found one for the first time after many years. Because if you check the salutations of Adam, the way they introduced him, they talked about genealogies until they came to Adam. They said, Adam, son of God. And it was only Jesus at the end of the day that the heavens opened and a voice was heard saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. I am trying to say in all I have been saying that man did not start in time. Man started from eternity and man will end in eternity. And so if you did not know well about the second Adam, you will not understand the first. Who was the second Adam? They showed us that the second Adam was alive before he entered into time. So the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible told us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. You know that Jesus is the Word that became flesh. And so even Adam too, the first one, was the Word of God that became flesh. When the Trinity came together and said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have, as they were talking, the words that God speak, they become spirit and they are alive. As they were talking, that was when they made Adam. But they had to form him. There's a difference between creation and formation. So they make first by words. Words will create your spirit man. Then they will form a body for that spirit to use to execute the dictates that created the spirit. So everybody will follow this route too. So we are seeing from the second, the things that were hidden in the first, that the first too was created by words. And the first thing from the journey of your destiny, because I speak today of the biography of a believer. The believer did not start in time. He started from eternity and he will end in eternity. The Bible speaking in John chapter 1 verse 6, it says there was a man sent from God, not sent by God. You came from God. Your end is God. It's not only Jesus that is the Word of God that became flesh. Everybody here was once a set of prophecy that was echoed in the council of heaven. And when those prophecies were echoed, in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5, the Bible says, a body hast thou prepared for me. So you started long ago before you enter time. The greatest pain is when you enter time and you forget your identity. The greatest discouragement to the mortals is when you arrive time and you don't know who you are. And so I'm trying to present it to us that the first season, the biography of a believer, is ordination. For those who are writing and for those who are following me, your first season of manifestation is ordination. And what is ordination? In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew you. We were together in a realm. There was a point where you were with me. Before you were formed, before your father and your mother knew theirself, God says you are already alive. So don't think you started in the earth. You are already real with me in a realm that matters. So before I formed you in your mother's womb, I have known you and I have ordained you to be a prophet. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, please, whoever is projecting, I want us to go together. It says, I knew you, number one. Number two, he says, I have sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto nations. You have not been formed yet, but you have been ordained. Your ordination is clear. They know what you are supposed to enter the world and do. Let me tell you one truth, and this is what my charge tonight is aimed at challenging. There is a lie in the cosmos. I know in your mind you want to finish NYSC quickly, you know, and get start certificate, apply a job and get into the system. You will get lost inside the system. The plan of the system is to, you know, homogenize everybody, bring everybody under groups. So if you are a doctor, you are an engineer, there are many copies of you in the cosmos. In fact, from your school alone, they graduated many copies of you. And if your certificate is second class upper, you graduated it, or a first class, you are not the only one. There are many kinds like you also still waiting. So they created many groups so that when you enter the cosmos, you can never be unique. In the cosmos, you only have groups where you can fall into. And so our strength in this kingdom is in our uniqueness. But in the cosmos, there is no room for uniqueness. Join your line and join your group. And so it's only the matters of ordination that can help you to stand tall in your generation. Because the truth of the matter is, there is nothing you can come to in the cosmos that will really bring the light and the attention of the nations to you. Many of you, the message I speak today is for you. But if you don't pay attention, you will not hear my voice. Because many things are hitting your soul. You don't even know yet that you are about to join the rat race of life. You think it's a plan you have, but it is the same dream everybody is pursuing. At the end of the day, it's a rat race. And then you will see it's vanity upon vanity. The Bible says it is futile to wake up early and sleep late at night only to eat the bread of sorrow. All you did with your life is running from pillar to post. And your real place of advantage is the uniqueness that you came from the realm eternal with. He says, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb. He says, first, I knew you. I sanctified you. I ordained you. Let me ask you a question. What is your ordination? That is the first thing a man should labor on before you even get a certificate. The question of who am I should be your first pursuit. Who am I? It is when you answer that question, you will know what you should do in the world. Mind you, let me tell you one truth. From the lens of ordination, our reward is not in doing work. Our reward is doing the will of the Father. You can do many things, but if it's not the will of the Father, there is no reward still. I ordained you. So your first season of manifestation is ordination. There was something they did. There was a unique wiring that they put into your soul. There was a way they wired you. They laid your wiring carefully to make that there will be a unique way only you can relate with God. So you can stand in a meeting where other people are feeling bored and only you are crying. Because the things that are being spoken, we don't all relate with God in the same way. As I'm speaking right now, we are understanding the things I'm saying are different gradients. It is about uniqueness of wiring. That is why you relate with things differently. And they did that so that only you can bring essence to certain dimensions of God on the ground of your uniqueness. So that in the lens of the spirit, you are not all the same. You can even enter the same space and be preaching the same message, but you'll be representing different dimensions of that message. If I talk about love today, all of us will not understand love the same way. Some people will be understanding love from the lens of mercy, others from the lens of power, others from the lens of government. It's about your wiring. Some people, if they enter this place and they see things scattered, they will not rest. They will be doing like busybodies. The world will say that they are garagara people. It is wiring that is pushing you. You are not the same. The world wants everybody to behave like a pattern, but we are not designed to be the same. Everybody came with a uniqueness, and it's not only your wiring that makes you different. Another thing that gives you your peculiarity, it is the capacity that was measured into you. So we don't all have the same bearing capacity. There are people that can withstand things that if you look at the vessel versus what they are going through, you will never be able to think they can carry it. But those things were measured from the labs of ordination. They know what you can do. And the ordination they give to you is as regarding the challenge in the landscape you will manifest. It's as regarding where you are going to manifest inside time. So they measure out your capacity. When they are done measuring capacity for men, the next thing they give to men are roles. They give you roles in the eternal scope of things, so that only you is supposed to manifest at so time. So when the calendar of the immortals is unfolding, there will be such a thing called the season of your appearing. The Bible says John remained in the wilderness until the season of his appearing. And if the season of appearing comes, it means the reason why they sent you into time, a demand for that reason has come. They begin to ask, who was supposed to solve this thing? Who was the answer to the cry of this lineage? They will not ask that until the season of your fruitfulness has come. Nobody goes to a tree until when it is expected to be fruitful. The Bible says the master of the vineyard will come every year seeking for fruits at that season of fruitfulness. And sometimes when there is no fruit, the keeper of the vineyard will say, give it 1 year. Give it one extra year. Let's just try and see whether it can be fruitful again. Many of us, this phase of your life, you have entered a season of your appearing. If you don't maximize this phase, you will watch life pass you by like joke. There are three variables that will fluctuate throughout the course of your life. Number one is energy, which is strength. Number two is time. Number three is resources, finance. At this point of your life, you have energy, you have time, but you don't have money. And so all your labor, all the 1, 2, 3 and ABC is an attempt to use energy and time to earn money. But the phase you are about to step into now is a phase where you would have money, you will have energy, but you will not have time. When children begins to come, when the demand of parenthood comes, when a job engage you from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., you come back drenched and tired. Before you turn and say you want to attend evening service, you are sleeping. You will watch your life go by like this, and you will do that thing on repeat for 34 years. Some people will retire after 35 years, and then they are gray-headed. Their bones are bent. Then they will realize in the last phase of your life, you are going to have time. You will have money, but you will not have energy. So at the end of the day, these three variables will be fluctuating. Those of us who intend to make relevant strides in life, you are going to do tomorrow's homework today, because you know you will not have the energy tomorrow. So you will fetch some energy and use for tomorrow. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27, it is good for a man that he bears the yoke in his youth. While you are young, there is any time you can download the records of the immortals to know the things they spoke concerning you, so that you can walk accurate in ordination. It's now. It's now you can go on that fasting and receive manuscript for your life. A time will come your brain will not have the capacity to understand concepts as easy as you can now again. Don't be deceived. Even age can kill a man. It's not sickness that kill alone. You can be old and die of old age. So time too is a measure of disadvantage. As the time continues to go, you are losing your best form. And if you don't maximize, the Bible says, I must do the work of he that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can walk. It is the best point you are in. And if there is a time to create a clear dichotomy, you must be able to tell the difference between work and job quickly. If you don't do that quickly, you will leave pursuing the system, and at the end it will be vanity upon vanity. The summary of your life will be vanity upon vanity. So you will tell the difference between your job and your work. Your work is the assignment of he that sent you. Your job is your engagement that gives you a payment. So at the end of the day, a man who wants to make relevant mark, he will marry job and work together. You will find a way that while you are doing job, your work did not stop. Your work is supposed to have started from now. There must be something that you are doing. The Bible says, I shall not die but live. To do what? To declare the works. The works! Jesus says, I must do that work. What are you doing, sister? What are you doing? All the system puts us a pressure. Let me tell you one truth. The cosmos has demanded at least 25 years from the life of the average man that arrives time. 25 years, you will use it trying to understand yourself in the world. So you'll be learning ABC 1, 2, 3 so that you can use that as a foundational knowledge to begin to learn other complex knowledge. So they use that again to impact other knowledge, whether science or arts or any of the humanities you want to associate with. From that again, they use that as a passage to put you into one of the system. At the end of the day, they just want to spend away the days of your formation. And so if all you were pursuing, you didn't subscribe a yearning for the knowing of God, the knowledge of the Holy One, at the end of the day, you will arrive at the shores of eternity. You will come to the doors of a celestial city and they will not recognize you, because all you did is that you tried to gain the world, but your soul was lost. Sister, if you can hear me, I'm speaking to you now. One day you will see a child that looks like you, and the child will be trusting you. Everything the child sees in you, the child will believe this is how a human being will behave. And it will occur to you then that you have gone from being a girl into a mentor. Somebody is learning everything from you. Somebody can go to hell because of you. Mind you, what children learn from their formative years is very hard to change it later. The things that crystallize, the things they saw you do, it becomes a natural part of them. So a voice is summoning you tonight and calling on you to remember, it's not just about you. It's not just about looking good. There is a purity that streams from your soul. There is a yearning to connect with the divine. And if that is not on the core of your heart, you know, there will be no need for a talk like this. After ordination is meted out, the matters of ordination is concluded, the next season of manifestation in the life of a believer. Please, I want to be sure I'm not speaking over our head. If you are getting blessed, say amen. The next season that a believer comes into is birth. In birth, we'll be born into various families, peculiar, of course, relating to our ordination. When you are born, all of the princes inside time, they will not disturb you yet. The day that they get angry is the day you allow or you venture to be born again. There's two births everybody must experience. You will be born into the natural life, which is the Adamic life. Mind you, when you are born, you will sleep the sleep of Adam. So you will need a voice of a trumpet to wake you up. There will be people inside time. The way John the Baptist will go ahead of Jesus, there will be somebody's voice that will activate your destiny inside time. And that is the day you are going to lay your life to Jesus. When you surrender your life to Jesus, in that moment of surrender, you have entered another birth. All this while they did not disturb you. So in primary school, you're just living your life. You will not read much. You will carry first. Small thing, they will gather and say, make him the head boy. And you just say, there's something about me. I don't know why. Anywhere I find myself, I'm the leader. It will not continue like that forever. The day you give your life to Christ, hell will break loose against you. The Bible speaking in Revelation chapter 12 verse 17. It says the dragon fought against the seed of the woman, the remnant of her seed that kept the commandment of the Lord. Any person who attempts to be right with the instructions of God and wants to live to uphold the testament of Jesus, he becomes a target in this war. Mind you, there was war in heaven, but there is war on earth now. And if you are not living like a soldier, you are an endangered species. You don't know what is going on. Everything that must be done in this part of the kingdom must be done through warfare. Even the word of the Lord for your life cannot come to pass except war is engaged. The Bible says, forever, O God, thy word is settled, but it's only settled in heaven. And so before that word enters the earth, the colonial masters of the space, the principals of the earth, they will engage war. If any man by his tongue, whether excitement or any all night, mistakenly say thy kingdom come, you have declared war immediately, because there is a kingdom that reigns here. When Jesus came, the kingdom came and told Jesus, let's liars. You cannot bring anything strange into this realm. Just abide by our tandem and we will give you what you want. And so it must take warfare before a man prevail. You are having great dreams and you think, well, let's just trust God. It will take more than trust God. You will engage. The Bible says from the days of John, this kingdom, this side of the kingdom, suffered violence. It's war that broke out here. You cannot find anything come to pass if a man does not carry it and war with it. He says, do warfare with prophecy. So although they spoke about you and say you are going to be great, he said, carry that thing and war with it. I found out something. I found out no spirit truly is powerful. If it is this side of the kingdom, the most powerful being is man. Even God and Satan needs to cooperate with man to work here. No matter how Satan is passionate about an agenda, he has to subscribe a man. He must find a vessel before he can carry out his merchandise. Even God, no matter how moved he is, he will seek for a man. Until a man avails himself, the counsel of God cannot prosper here. The most powerful being on this side of the divide. Amen. Just in case they say, you know, in the place you came from, people don't do this. There is this that happened. So you are now conscious that there's a pattern and you feel you are helplessly under the whims and caprices of spirits. I can tell you one truth. You can rebel against prophecies. The words will go ahead of you and you will change your road. You can choose that although this thing has molded the life of many people after me, some people is anger, so they can never keep any stable relationship. They will fight with all their destiny helpers. Every people who are supposed to bless them will live their life suddenly in anger because they have something in them. And they say, where we came from, this is our own family problem. Our own is just anger. Or if not, we are good people. You don't have anger issue. The anger is an like an app that they installed inside you, the overall you, like a phone. When they install that app, you can choose not to use the app. You can choose not to open the app. Every day, the anger begins to well. The average man is between two decisions. One, yield to the flesh, which is follow what this anger is pushing you to do, or rebel. It is this kind of people that spirits call strong men. A man that can tame the flesh, that the flesh is pushing him towards this direction. And this is not about willpower, it's about knowing that I am more powerful than the impulses of spirits. There is a spirit in man. You are not alone. There is a spirit inside you too. So when spirits try to use you to make motions, your spirit can decide to go the other way. Please, if you are getting blessed, say amen. The only way to prevail when spirits go into war, when motions are happening in the realms of the celestials, the only way for you to win them, because I can tell you one truth. I told you just now that there is a spirit inside you too. They did that design so that when spirits are having meeting, you too, you can speak there. And when you are with your fellow men too, they gave you a body so that you can interact with both realms concurrently. So it's not that spirit will talk on your behalf. Then you don't know what was. You can go there and speak for yourself. Let me tell you about the creatures in heaven. In heaven, it's not only angels that they are there. You have men too in heaven. In heaven, you have chariots. You have elders. There are different creatures in heaven. So it's not only angels that you find in heaven. Part of the men you find in heaven are people like Enoch. Mortal body inside heaven. Because it was designed that he has a spirit being inside him. He can manifest there anytime he like. Some of you, while you are alive, they will invite you to the throne room from time to time to hear the conversations about you. Certain elders will be gisting. There's a young man at somewhere around Panawa. Have you seen the way he holds on to the horn of the altar? And when they talk about you, transition season is near. They are looking for who will take certain horns, who will inherit the heritage of the fathers. When they are looking at transition moments, different creatures in heaven will begin to talk about their own candidates. That's where you will know you were never alone. All those all nights you prayed quietly and there was no result. All those nights when sleep was sweet and you rolled yourself with the last strength you had and just put your knee on the ground. That's when you will know that other things were looking at you. And I want to share something with you tonight. The things that are aware of the things you are doing are more than the people you are hiding it from. If you are dealing with a secret sin, you have a form of godliness, very sanctimonious appearance. Your skirt is by your ankle. All your dressing is belts and tie. And yet, there is an infirmity in your life. It was only with Elisha we can understand these things. That suddenly a man can tell another man, let me help you understand something. So he says, Lord, please open the eyes of this man. And when the chariots did not just appear, they have always been there. This is why he was not troubled. But this one was troubled. So he said, help him see what I see that makes me the way I am. The chariots of fire that surrounded the valley were the things that were looking at everything he does. One day, if you continue in faithfulness, doing your life in the secret, the devil wants you to look like it, sound like it, behave like it, but don't be it. So outwardly, people will think you are a man that has the hallowed bread of God. But salvation is far from your borders. And when it is time to help you, people will think you are the one that should bring help to them. So at the end of your day, a verdict will be sounded from the throne eternal. Depart from me, ye walker of iniquity. It is the saddest state that can befall a man. And let me tell you, the highest punishment is not fire. It is separation from God. There is nothing as tormenting as that loneliness in a vast span of eternity that you have no reference again. Lost forever. No civilization has a bearing of you. Separation from God is the worst. Not even fire. Birth. After they give birth to you, to a physical family, there will be a need for another birth. So all men must die to themselves and be born into the household of love. When you enter that family, all of a sudden, the next season, which is number 3, will open up immediately. War. Immediately you wear the flag of Jesus. They say, who are you? They didn't challenge you all this while because you were part of the system. I'm answering somebody's question now. How comes I'm serving God? See this person that is not even taking God serious. Things are just moving well. The war is only against those who keep the commandment of God. If it is this side of the kingdom, there is no gospel that is meant for your encouragement. This one is just to give you the truth. You handle the tablets of truth. Only you yourself will encourage yourself. The season we are in, there is no need to just be going around and say, my sister, if you know what I'm going through, see, nobody will encourage you again. The Bible says, and David encouraged himself. You know, you just look and say, I don't know why. I'm just not motivated lately. See, the least of your challenge is motivation. If you know the thrones that have gone to war, it is not about how you are feeling. It's about government. It's about what kingdom will prevail. You are still looking in front of mirror and say, Sometimes I wish that my nose was more pointed. You don't know the things that are happening. The earth has been thrown into war. They sent you here. The Bible says, as a good soldier, endure hardship. Scripture says, there's no man that warreth, that entangleth himself with the affairs of this world, so that he may please the one that has called him to be a good soldier. Any of us, you have not entered battle mode. You don't know you are at war. Your salvation altar call that you did, it was declaration of war. The day you wear the flag of Jesus and the signatures of Christ is signed upon you, the kingdom that antagonized the kingdom of Christ, which is the spirit of the Antichrist, begins to challenge everything about you. So if you are not conscious of that, you will be moved by little things. You will be looking for small motivation here and there. We don't need anything to motivate us. We know war is going on, so we live every day prepared. There are many things that would want to spoil the outcome of your life to frustrate you. So if you don't activate other senses, there are many other weapons that are available for your download. And if you know you are at war, you will live bearing those weapons. You will assess the Tower of David. You will carry the shields that defended Israel. You will wield the sword that brought giants down. Because all of these things are available for your download. And if you don't assess it, until you assess it, you will not be able to make maximum use of your life. When war is declared upon you, it is a reason to frustrate you, to discourage you, and to make you regret associating with Jesus. And I told you that the reason why war comes is because you were born into the household of Christ. When that happens, everything will then begin to fall apart. You will find out suddenly the small favor you used to enjoy before will just cease once. The heavens that you, before you pray myself, answers has come. You will find suddenly that it looks like everything is dry. The average man will begin to contemplate Egypt again. The cucumber and the garlic of Egypt. I wish I was still in slavery. It is the same thing that happened in the Exodus. Once you begin to journey your way out of Egypt, the powers that be will make sure that they will be trapped in your experience, so that your heart will start yearning for Egypt again. You will now by yourself start desiring captivity and say, I'd rather be a slave than to live as a free man with lack. So the average Christian gives his life to Christ and all hell breaks loose. The day you were born into the carnal nature, nobody fought you. It was the day you were born into Jesus. That's when war broke out. And when war breaks out, it is to cause a discouragement so that the hearts of many will turn back. And the Bible says, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. You must know. And the reason why I'm sharing this thing is to antagonize that licentious gospel that makes you feel like the utmost aim of the salvation journey is to make you live good, or to improve your life, give you a nice statement of your bank account. So you begin to rate your life before you give your life to Christ versus after you give your life to Christ. And the average Christian thinks that God failed him. If you know your heritage, you need to have investment with God. You need to have possessions with him. You need to know that beyond this world, there are people waiting for me in the shores of the celestial city to receive me. Some of you, nobody waits for you there. So when war is declared, it is declared to cause discouragement. After the season of war, for those who fight and prevail, the next season is manifestation. The Bible says the earnest expectation of creature, they are waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. It is in manifestation that a voice will be heard. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. It is in manifestation that a territory will be commanded to become loyal to your counsel. A territory will be commanded to become subjected to your rebuke. It is in manifestation that a sphere of influence will be measured for you. The things you were doing quietly that nobody knew before, inside the season of manifestation, you will find suddenly the attention of men will be drawn towards you. Inside manifestation, there is such an anointing called the desire of men. It will begin to come towards you. It is inside the season of manifestation that is likened to such a narrative called the day of thy power. And the Bible says in the day, Psalm 110 verse 3, in the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing. So there are people inside time that can be wandering in confusion in the valleys of life. They are waiting for their commanding officer to blow a horn when he climbs the mount. And who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall climb his holy mountain? He that has a clean hand and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So it is during war you are trying to climb the mount, and many pressure will be pushing you backward. And it is because your day of power is near. Because your people will only find you in your day of power. It is during your day of power that is when your people will be willing. You don't know how many destinies are tied to your manifestation. You don't know how many people will see their light in your light. You don't know how many people will know the meaning of their life only inside you. Sometimes I wonder how many of us abandons the fact that your salvation is not for you alone. Your salvation is connected to many other people's conversion. There are many people that will not understand what to do with their life until their commanding officer rise. And so many of you are captains in different generations, but until you rise, your generation will not understand what to do with their life. And you will continue to blame people. You will continue to hold other people responsible, but you are the one that did not rise. That's why that lady is still a prostitute, because they designed it that it is your voice that can activate her horn, that it is only your own message that will bring her to her knees. Because in your wiring, they put something into you that when you speak, she will bow. You can be looking at her and say, look at this prostitute. It is you that did not rise. That is why she is still in absence. You know, I know you are planning for, you know, once you just finished from your BPA, one of the numerous places you have applied, somebody will just call you one Tuesday morning and say, hello, is this Emeka? You now say yes. And I say, we just want to inform you that your application has been favorably considered. Tell somebody by your side, wake up. No, it's important to say that. Please tell somebody, wake up. If you have not found the work of he that sent you, a job is dangerous. A job is dangerous until you have found your work. If a job engage you before you find your work, the chances of finding your work in time will be very slim. You will live the rest of your days building empires for Pharaoh, and at the end of the day you will die as one of the slaves that sleep the sleep of Adam. Manifestation. Many were called, but only few were chosen. Many were given lofty ordinations from the throne eternal. From the studios of ordination, they gave them mighty purpose. But when they entered time, only few manifested. Only few said present. It takes warfare to answer present on the earth. They sent you, but when you enter, the heavens will start calling, Shegun. Shegun. The day you said present is the day you started living. So they didn't count life for you until they hear present. And they say, would you do what we sent you to do? It is that moment that is the season of your appearing. And it is when that season comes, all hell will break loose against you. And any man who begins to climb the mountains of the Lord, you are about to blow a trumpet. The Bible says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm upon my holy mountain. There is an army in a generation that wants to gather, but they cannot gather until a man blows the trumpet. And only few people can blow a trumpet in a generation. When they begin to speak, their voice begins to rattle the foundations. Their voice begins to gather people from all sects. A great army will arrive for Jesus, and their days will be spent fighting wars on maiden territories to win different landscape for Jesus. And I bring a concluding message to many of us. There is a great damage that has been done to the army of the Lord. In the 19th and 18th centuries, there was a mighty move that was supposed to be preserved. A move so sacred, a move so unique, a move so powerful that it tilted and changed the shape of the move of Christianity. And it was the arrival of certain dangerous women. They came in a bunch. They did not come single. They manifested in the same era across different landscapes. So when Catherine Kuhlman was manifesting, Amy Semple McPherson was also gathering a crowd in another location. Maria Woodward Eater was doing damage. In fact, They gathered the largest crowd of a single Christian meeting in a time where women were not allowed to talk in church. An apostolic lineage, a tribe, was formed in the spirit. A legacy, eternal dynasty, was started by them. When Satan decided to stop that move, he came and collided with women, gave them many other distractions, and made that the average woman in our time, she aspires to be a relationship coach. Jesus Christ. A time where women were healing apostles, where they packed stadiums. They were not people who were relegated. And mind you, they started with great persecution. One of the people that persecuted their kind was Alexander Dewey. He refused to accept that a woman can carry the horn of ordination. So Alexander Dewey was a general of God in that same timeline, and he was fighting their clan. And these women were not frustrated. They continued to push. Maria Woodward Eater continued to push. Today I keep my eyes on the terrain. I look from distant horizon and I cannot find that species again. The kind that carries an aura of God. Once upon a time I sighted a lady, but before a few years they deflated her. I thought she was going to bring that dimension to time, but before a few years I saw that they swallowed her up. She got lost in the vanity also. How I look, how many likes on my Facebook, who cares about those things? The people that did that work before you that I spoke about, the creatures that liked their own kind of life were angels, not men. The number of likes they had were from celestial creatures. Now is how many people commented? Who cares the comments? So I saw a lady who was a prayer vehicle on campus. Her name is Naomi. She prayed and prayed and prayed until roommates on campus decided by themselves to vacate their room and go and squat elsewhere. Then they left Naomi with one room inside Ribatu Hostel in ABU campus. At night, Naomi is and she is a sensitive person. She is not shouting and disturbing people. Yet that whispering prayer, they could not bear it. They walked away. I started hearing about Naomi before I saw her, because brethren were discussing about a strange species. The lady was not conscious of whether you like her or not. Her affection is to the King. I knew something the day I came close to her for the first time, and it was in a fellowship. I felt a wave. The way you have ripple effect if something drops in a still water, where you have a ripple effect of wave. I felt a wave from some perimeter around her. I started feeling like praying when I came near her. My hands was literally shaking. I knew this was a woman of prayer. After campus, after graduation, I saw on Naomi's status, after 4 or 5 years, she's gone. Lost in the world. A woman that had such audience from God. A woman that carries such atmosphere. My ears was on the ground waiting for her manifestation. I knew this kind, she would shake the world. But the system swallowed her up. The system is designed to swallow anointings. And I tell you something about talents. We found out from the parable of the talents that the dust can cover talents. The servant said, I hid my talent in the ground. And the dust is made, is a typology of the flesh nature of a man. That dust can bury your talent. If you yield to its suggestion, your talent will be lost. May we never lose our wonder. Till today, Naomi is a great... Till today, I pray that she will rise again. I know what that lady carries. One guy was gisting in Old Block. That is Danfodio Hostel in ABU campus. He was just in that he liked her, that he wanted to ask her out. He went and stood in front of her and he froze. The air, the spirit with her arrested him, cannot save him. Then she now preached to him. After the preaching, the mission was not what he came for. He now gave his life to Christ. When he came back, we were laughing at him. Catherine Kuhlman, Madame Coulion, Amy Semple McPherson, Maria Woodward Eater. We have a lot of examples to show you that there's no limit to what God can do with you. But tonight the invitation is one. Are you ready to die so that God will use you? Two captains cannot manage this ship. You will step aside so that God can lead your life. The only way that the ancients did is that they laid their life on the altars of consecration. They surrendered so that Jesus can lead. Our world is we want to do partnership. You give Jesus some part and you keep some part. If we must see the days of those mighty moves again, we must pay the price that they paid. If we must lift the horn of the ancients, we must be ready to drink from the cup they drank from. And it was the cup of consecration. They lived wholly with God in the secret. So everything open was just a little show of what they did with God secretly. Our world is about the open, and in the secret, we are an abomination with God. Many people are just a fake, waiting to be revealed. And many of you know yourself already. There's no need for lies tonight. I told you already from the beginning, the intelligence of the princes is that you can look like it, sound like it, behave like it, but don't be it. So they want you to be in the pulpit actually, but you'll be broadcasting frequencies of lust from there. They want you to be holding mic and they'll be supporting you, giving you more invitations. But at the end of the day, the verdict is depart from me, ye walker of iniquity. Because although you were preaching, what you were sponsoring was a frequency of abomination. And this is the abomination of desolation. This is what corrupts the holy altar. This is why judgment will start from the house of the Lord. Because the real agents of darkness now are wearing suits. The real agents of darkness now are wearing ties. And they are broadcasting frequencies, corrupting the heart of men. Many people are struggling with things they don't know where it came from. It is from pulpits. That is why in a day like this, when war has broken out in the gates, all men must know God for themselves. It will be dangerous to want to know God through a man now, because you don't know the man in the secret. You don't trust any. The only person you can trust now is you and God. You cannot trust anybody. The holiest of them all, we keep our ears, and suddenly a scandal will just come from nowhere, and then you will be surprised. Is this not this my papa? Is it the time of papa is over? The kingdom age has started. The church age has finished its relevance. It is now a time for all men to labor and journey into God for themselves. You must know God, no longer the God of Elijah. Where is the God of Elijah? No. It's my God. My God. My God. If you attempt to route God through a man now, I'm telling you, you are treading on very slippery ground. The only thing you are sure of is yourself. I am saying these things, and I'm also putting myself in the same category. You cannot even attempt to want to know God through me. You focus, know God. Talk to him like a father. Hear from him every day. He says that you shall hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Don't depend on knowledge alone again. Trust inspirations too. Because there are two trees in the garden. There is the tree of knowledge, and there is the tree of life. You can choose to walk with God through the economy of knowledge, or you can connect through life. And inside life, nobody teaches you anything. Inside life, you know things by inspiration. It was through life that the ancients wrote the Bible. The Bible says holy men were led. There was no Bible. Which Bible did Moses read? You right now, you want to know God, and you need to, and you are not even faithful to the scripture. You open, you are reading first verse, second verse, you now sleep on top of it. Which Bible did they read? They had a knowing. They knew God as a spirit. They submitted themselves by consecration, and God walked through them. Our world, we have many advantages, yet we are the ones that are transgressing the laws more than all. Tonight I'm inviting somebody who knows that there is a path. There is a path that our generation wants to see. There is a breed of people that the world is yearning for. The Bible says the earnest expectation of creatures, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Suddenly, the air, the land, the water can be subjected to the command of a son of God. The way they heard Jesus spoke to water, and they say, who is this that even the waves and the sea obey his command. It is the manifestation of the sons that will save our land. When bandits and kidnappers have infested the space, suddenly when sons rise from this landscape, you will find nature fighting our enemies. Even the forest will not be habitable for them again. It is only sons that can bring our deliverance. It's not a time again for all of these lofty offices. I'm apostle this, I am this, 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 this. How many apostles in the land, and look at darkness ravaging? It is a sign that we need sons. People that it is God that know them, not men. Mind you, all these apostle this, papa, apostle, doctor. When you are finished with all this, at the end of the day, it's only men that are calling you that. No angel give you that salutation. They don't even know, they don't know how you are an apostle. Because when they put Apostle Paul by your side, you don't look like him. There are people that have forgotten their biological names. They know this is apostle on the line. Oh God, what is your name? Can we bow our hearts? Can we raise a solemn cry to God from the stillness of your heart? Lord, I know you can do without me. I know you can do without me, but please use me. I know you can do without me. Please use me. Use my life. Use my life. Use my life. There is a sound of revival in our land. And it's a call for manifestation. All of a sudden, from different deserts, different valleys, and different miry clays.
Glory to God! We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnacazoMissionInternational.AMI or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.